This is KDNK's local and regional news. I'm Marilyn Gleason. Nonprofit organization Hunger Free Colorado had a busy year. In November, Hunger Free Colorado collaborated with 150 organizations to promote state ballot measures LL and MM to support free school meals. It also reports assisting over 17,000 families in applying for SNAP and connecting even more households with food resources. Despite this hard work, federal changes to SNAP are going to affect over 600,000 Coloradans. The budget cuts total $186 billion nationally and could mean loss of food access for children, older adults, and those with disabilities. An agreement between Pitkin County and the town of Basalt will provide Basalt with supplemental law enforcement. The Basalt PD's school resource officer will return to local schools for the 2025-26 academic year, and Pitkin Sheriff's deputies will also patrol in Basalt while the town continues its recruitment efforts. The partnership will take effect immediately. The agreement was approved by Pitkin County's Board of Commissioners. Today, the U.S. House of Representatives voted to pass a bill to remove Endangered Species Act protections for gray wolves across the lower 48. If passed by the Senate, this bill would congressionally delist all gray wolves in the lower 48. Wolves in the northern Rockies were congressionally delisted in 2011, handing management authority over to states. That marked the first ever delisting of a species by Congress. The most recent data from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and its state partners estimate nearly 5,000 wolves inhabit the western Great Lakes states. There are only 2,700 wolves in the entire western United States. That includes 230 wolves in Washington state, 204 in Oregon, 50 in California, and a scant 20 in Colorado, early in reintroduction efforts here. Nevada and Utah have had a few wolf sightings over the past 3 years, but wolves remain functionally absent from their historic habitat in those states. Critics say H.R. 845 disregards the science and bypasses the role of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which undertakes a multi-step process that involves scientific review and public participation. A bill that will help finish a water project in southeastern Colorado has passed the Senate and is headed to the president. The bill addresses the increasing cost of finishing the Arkansas Valley Conduit. Democratic Senator Michael Bennett says it tackles the affordability issue head-on.
Cutting local costs by lowering the interest rate and providing more flexible repayment terms. This is a common-sense solution to ensure that Southeast Colorado can afford safe and reliable drinking water.
Republican Representative Lauren Boebert led the bill through the House. The delegation has worked for years in a bipartisan fashion to get the final piece of the Frying Pan, Arkansas project, originally signed into law by President John Kennedy, completed at last. The Trump administration is moving to dismantle the National Center for Atmospheric Research. Located in Boulder, it's one of the most important climate research institutions in the country, and it employs over 1,000 people. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yanez has more.
The quasi-governmental National Science Foundation has funded NCAR for more than 50 years. In addition to climate research, NCAR scientists work on technology, modeling, and forecasting for agriculture, transportation, and the military. The move was first reported by USA Today and confirmed by Russell Vogt, the administration's director of Office of Management and Budget. He said in a social media post that NCAR was, quote, one of the largest sources of climate alarmism in the country. Colorado Governor Jared Polis wrote in a statement that, quote, public safety is at risk and science is being attacked. The University Corporation for Atmospheric Research, which manages NCAR for NSF, said the move would hurt the country's ability to, quote, predict, prepare for, and respond to severe weather and other natural disasters. Vogt says vital activities like weather research will be moved to another facility or location, but the administration has not provided any details on how dismantling NCAR will work. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
This holiday season, AARP's Elder Watch program in Colorado is offering tips for people to protect themselves from scammers. Eric Galatis has more.
Nearly 9 in 10 adults in Colorado and across the U.S. report being targeted by scammers, according to a new AARP survey, and experts are warning people to stay vigilant during the holiday season. Mark Federhoff with AARP ElderWatch Colorado says it can be hard to resist answering the phone when you're expecting a call from a doctor or pharmacy. He adds, if you do answer and someone asks you to verify a login and password or ask for any personal or financial information, hang up.
It's really important that we're being super cautious, especially for these numbers that are coming through that we're not familiar with. People can portray themselves as anyone. If you're not sure about who it is, I think the best thing you can do is disengage.
In 2023, Coloradans reported more than 800 imposter scams to the state's attorney general's office, but the actual total is likely much higher because victims frequently blame themselves and don't report being scammed. If anyone contacts you claiming to be with the IRS, Social Security, Medicare, the state, a local government, or even law enforcement, be skeptical. Government officials will never call, email, or text to ask for money or personal information. Federhoff says criminals are also getting better at using peer-to-peer payment apps like Venmo and Zelle to separate people from their money. He says text messages can be especially deceptive during the holiday season. If you're concerned about a gift arriving on time, check the tracking number provided by most delivery services. Be wary anytime you get a message telling you that a package is undeliverable.
They're trying to find out what numbers are live, and they're trying to find nice people who they can build a rapport with and then eventually ask for money. So I think it's really critical that people are very judicious about how they're managing their text messages, because we know that scammers are using text messages more than ever.
7 in 10 consumers are expected to give gift cards this year, but those cards frequently arrive with zero balances. Federhoff says that's because many gift cards conveniently on display at retail outlets have been targeted by scammers who record the card's number and security code or PIN. As soon as you buy the card, those funds can be siphoned into scammer accounts. More tips for outsmarting scammers are available online at AARP.org/fraud watch.
For KDNK, I'm Eric Galatis.
House Bill 1, or the Big Beautiful Bill, was signed into law in July and contains strict requirements for Medicaid eligibility. The bill requires all Americans on the federal health plan to prove they are working a minimum of 80 hours a month. KDNK's Lily Jones has more.
According to the Colorado Fiscal Institute, 92% of people enrolled in Medicaid are already working, in school, or caregiving, even without the proposed new work requirements. House Bill 1's work requirements will kick in on January 1st of 2027, unless a state chooses to opt in sooner, like Georgia has. The Center for Budget and Policy Priorities, a nonpartisan research group, says it's not going well. The paperwork that comes with work checks is resulting in administrative backlogs and higher spending on systems updating that could be going into health services. During the first Trump administration in Arkansas, 18,000 people lost coverage when the state implemented similar requirements. Many low-income individuals on Medicaid are subject to things like random shift changes, which could result in lowered income, or they could fall ill or become disabled. They could theoretically reapply to Medicaid, but the backlog of administrative work means longer wait times or more time spent without medical care. A federal court eventually ruled Arkansas's work requirements as unlawful. 1 in 5 Coloradans are enrolled in Medicaid, but on the Western Slope in CD3, it's 1 in 4. The Bell Policy Center's Chris DeGree Kennedy says that what happened in Arkansas could be even worse for rural Colorado.
What we're anticipating is that we're going to need 3,700 new county-level employees across the state just to administer this new healthcare bureaucracy. These are resources that a lot of small counties, frankly, cannot afford. So we may see longer wait times to get paperwork processed, slower responses to appeals or confusing issues that may lead to a much higher percentage of Coloradans losing their Medicaid even while they are working.
There are some exemptions to the work requirement rule, including pregnant people, foster youth, the medically frail, and so on. But these are people who likely are already not a part of the over 90% of Medicaid enrollees who work full-time, part-time, or otherwise qualify for exemption. This is the second installment in a series examining rural health care through the lens of federal changes. For KDNK News, I'm Lily Jones.
This is KDNK News.